الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سنة بإسلام الدين، أما بعد. Last time we stopped in Surah Yusuf, in the Qissah of Yusuf عليه السلام, how he was tested in a very difficult way, in very difficult times, in terms of his living in the palace of or in the house of that Aziz, the Wazir, the minister who was in charge of financial affairs. And so far we have covered Surah Yusuf in a sense, looking at each and every step of how Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped him at every step of the way. Couple of things to mention about last time and then we move forward. We said that the Imra'atu Aziz, the wife of the Wazir or minister, we said that she'd close the door. A couple of points to mention that I forgot to mention last time. It says وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Now the Mufassirun have said very beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalimat تَدُلُّ عَلَى خَلْفِيَةِ الْمَعَانِ, the background, the words. The beauty of Arabic language in understanding the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is so beautiful. I have said this so many times already since the beginning of Surah Yusuf, that it gives us a very graphic image, a picture, a realization, that she didn't just close one door, okay? أغلقت الباب وغلقت الباب, باب one door. غلقت الأبواب. بمعنى, in those days, of course, the houses had many doors, many rooms. She made sure that Yusuf Islam does not escape from any place. So maybe it's the front door, the inside door, the back door, meaning every door that could be possible. وغلقت الأبواب. أبواب جمع of باب. وقالت هيت لك بمعنى تهيأت لك, meaning that I have made myself ready for you, O Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, as the Mufassirin say, his umr at that time is in the Muntasif al-Jamal, or in the teenager years, in his hustling and bustling youth, around the age of 17 or 16. And there is a hadith about the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Rasulullah says a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that لما أعرج إلى السماء, when Rasulullah alayhi salam went for Mi'raj. As you know, he went through many heavens, first, second, third. And each of them he met different prophets. He met Yusuf alayhi salam, I believe, in the second heaven. And he met him and he saw him. Rasulullah said when he came back from Mi'raj, he said, When I saw Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah through Jibreel alayhi salam informed me that I have qasamtu al-jamal fil kawn ila nisfain. I have divided beauty, jamal, all the beauty that you think in the universe, not just now, but from azal ila al-abad, from the beginning till the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasul alayhi salam in Mi'raj that O Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salam, Khatim al-Anbiya, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, I have divided the beauty itself. Because Allah created everything. He created beauty, He created the mountains, the clouds, the different things. So when Allah created beauty, He divided it into two parts. Nisfun, one half of that whole beauty, is the beauty that we see in this world. The mountains, the oceans, the rivers, the streams, the greenery, the agriculture, the plateau, the different scenery that we see in this world. We go to different exotic locations and vacation and we see ooh, ah, mashallah, subhanallah, which is what we should be saying, not ooh and ah, as the non-Muslim would be saying. Wow, what was that? No, subhanallah, mashallah, subhanallah, glory be to Allah who created this beautiful waterfall. I see many times people when the first time go to Niagara, whether they're on the Toronto side or, I mean, on the Windsor, on the other side, or wow, what is that word? Subhanallah. This water is coming since Allah knows best how long, and it's still coming. And someone went in winter time, December 31st, it was frozen once. Little water is growing, but majority is frozen. And there are so many beauties in terms of beauty of women and men, and the beauty of the different khalq. Allah has created so many, 6 billion people right now on earth, but so many came before us, so many will come after us. Everyone has beauty. There's beauty in the animals, there's beauty in the nabatat, there's beauty in the ocean life. You see many different kinds of fish. Again, you get in dahish, you get surprised, shocked. Wow, what a subhanallah, what a beautiful creation of Allah. Every creation of Allah that you see on this, in this universe, not just on this earth, in this universe. If you see the rings of Jupiter or Saturn, or you also get amazed. This is all beauty. This is all nisf of beauty. And then Rasulullah said, وَالنِّصْفٌ آخَرْ فِي وَجْ يُوسُفْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Can you just imagine, brothers? Think of the most beautiful thing you saw on this earth. How beautiful it was. How much it attracted you. There is nothing. It's not one iota compared to the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. As some riwayats say of the Sahaba, that it is mentioned, we don't know if it's sahih or not, but I'm relaying to you just to show you. That Rasulullah said, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he used to walk in the market, in the souq, he used to have a kind of hijab. The ulama used this riwayah to tell our sisters in Islam that look, if a man with so much beauty would walk with a little bit of, you know, not hijab in the sense hijab, but a kind of cloth on his head with slight, a kind of cloth on your head. It's usually, you can see more in our Indo-Pakistan culture, they have a dupatta and they put a little bit upwards so that it's hiding on the forehead. It's dropping like this, so the person from the front gets shielded a little bit. No, they still have it in Peshawar, in Quetta, maybe not in Lahore or Karachi. But he used to walk like that. It's kind of like if you go to Saudi Arabia or any Gulf country, not the Arab country, but the Gulf, khususan Gulf countries, if you go there, they have this Gatora and they have this Imama on the top, the white thing. And just imagine that white thing is slightly raised like this. So it shields the view of the front person, and he's walking like this, obviously. Because Rasul said his beauty was so attractive and so testing for people that he knew this, and he would walk with this humility, with this khushu and khudu on earth, knowing that he has been given by Allah a miracle, mu'jiz. Can you imagine? Nisful Jamal. I mean, you can combine all the beauties of this earth, just earth. Still, it's not even to one third of the beauty of Yusuf al-Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I divided it in half. Just half, nisf. Half is for the whole universe, al-kawn. In this universe, there is earth, there is Mars, there is Mercury, there is Jupiter, there is Saturn, there is the mountains, there is the oceans, the earth itself, the human beings, the animals living, everything is included in that one half of that beauty. And the other whole half in one individual, Yusuf al-Islam. The reason Mufassirin give this ayah, that we need to understand, I mean this hadith and this and these explanations, because we need to understand why Imratu Aziz got so deviant. And that's why, remember we said this last time, that when the Aziz came and he opened the door, and she immediately, the makar, the the shrewdness of woman, she turned it out in a sense that she began to accuse Yusuf alayhi salam, and making herself very innocent, although she was chasing him around. And that's why we remember we said this last time that when the person, advisor to this wazir, said, let's check out the shirt. If the shirt is from the back, it means that your wife is the culprit, she's the criminal. Because no one will go backwards to a woman, they'll go frontwards. So if the shirt has fingerprints on the front, that means Yusuf alayhi salam is the one who is in the culprit. And that's what Allah says. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. The verbs in Arabic language very clearly tell us who is the kathib, who is the sadiq. When he came to the shirt from the front, it's saying that فَصَدَقَتْ, meaning she is true. وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. هُوَ is ismul ishara for a male. Okay? I'm sorry, it's a pronoun, dhamir, for a male. هُوَ. If it was here, it would be for... وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. But it says, وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ. Then she is the liar, and she falsely said, كَذَبَتْ. وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. So Allah is very clear for him. فَلَمَّا رَعَى قَمِيسَ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. When the husband, the Aziz, he saw the shirt, it's from the back, immediately he knew that the wife is saying a lie. And he said, "Innahu min kaidakun." Kaidakun meaning it is from your kaid, it is from your shrewdness, from your chalaki, chablus. It is from your mastery, your art of treachery, of trying to trying to deviate a man. Kaidil marad, yusammiha al-an. I mean, they say it nowadays that beware of two things from women: makr of woman, imra, and kaidil marad. Because if a mar'a, and it's amazing, if a woman is bent upon getting a man, she will go by any long means to get it. And at that time, a person thinks, what is wrong? And that is an example. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this surah in Quran about a prophet who came thousands of years before Rasulullah sallam, what is the message? Allah is saying, beware of the fitna of women. Just like the hadith of Rasulullah, he said that ashadd al-fitna, the one of the biggest fitna, one of the biggest test and trial that I feel on my ummah will be the fitna of women. The attraction, enticing, and the fitna or treachery of women on the males of my ummah. And that is why he warned. He said, look, remember Yusuf al-Islam, read Surah Yusuf, and remember how Yusuf al-Islam saved himself. He was giving his advice. Rasulullah was giving advice to Ma'sharat al-Shabab, that all people, O Shabab, make sure that you are in the footsteps of my brother Yusuf al-Islam. When he was young, he had the opportunity to do everything. Wahaytalak, meaning she is saying, I'm ready for you. She is chasing him around, grabbing from the back. When I used to read this surah, I used to always think, you know, how can a woman be so aggressive in chasing a man? Recently, I came across a case where the family members, they came to me and they wanted some counseling, some help for their son, because their son and their daughter-in-law were having trouble in marriage. And apparently their son is working in a nice company, I believe Oracle or Microsoft, I don't know. And there is this woman that works also there, Muslim woman, married with two children, 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, and she is chasing, literally chasing. Because the father and mother talk, father and mother of the son, in other means, the in-laws of the girl. The girl herself, you know, why are you chasing my husband? You know, leave him alone. Calling on the cell phone, meeting at the cafeteria, going outside, dating, whatever you want to call it. But, and he, Allah, I mean, we don't want to say that he is handsome on this because he's doing that, but I'm trying to see and show that when I talk, the way that she talked, no one can make sense to her. Her own parents talking to her, the boy's parents talking to her, the wife of the husband that she's chasing after. The wife is saying, back off my husband, leave us alone. We are having a nice life, let us have our own life. But this reminded me of the Imra'atu Aziz. When she was chasing Yusuf al-Islam, that's it. In her mind is Yusuf. I want to get him by hook or crook. And when I saw this case, which was recently, subhanAllah, I remembered Surah Yusuf. I said, look, why does Allah tell us these surahs, these stories in the Quran? Ashan Ibra, we get a lesson. Because until I met this family in this case, I used to think, well, not saying that women are angels, but I used to think that women, how long can she go? How far can she go to deviate or corrupt? And here she is married, and apparently when you find the background of the case and you see, yeah, she's married, she has two kids, she is a career oriented, she's working 9-to-5 job at the same time this man. Her husband, where is she? Common question that comes up. Husband is also working in a professional job, which is traveling. Monday to Friday is traveling. He only comes back on weekends to New Jersey. He is like outstationed, outsourced. So his company keeps sending him Sunday night and bringing him back Friday evening. So the guy is away 5 days a week. On the weekend he comes, hardly has time for their family or whatever. So this shows you how in our society corruption can breed and lead into. And you may think that if a woman talks to a woman, hey, back off my husband, she might make sense, but she doesn't. Then you might say, okay, if the parents are talking, it makes sense. Then the parents talk to her parents, hey, tell your daughter what she's doing, she's spoiling her own marriage. Then they talk to the husband. SubhanAllah, it's like talking to Imratu Aziz. That's what Imratu Aziz said. Talk to the husband, hey, conjure your wife. He said, yeah, I'll talk to her. And he doesn't divorce her, he talks to her, he tells her. But no, she still wants to meet him, she still. And this guy is like, he's after her or whatever. I mean, two families are being destroyed because of what? One woman. She's married, he's married, she has kids. I mean, everybody's dead. But what I'm trying to show you from this example, that look how much the imams and how much we have to go through in counseling, telling people to not corrupt families, because two families are being disturbed. Maybe she's happy with the way she's living, but at least this wife and this family is totally disturbed. The parents are disturbed, not just the parents of this girl, but parents of the boy, because in some cases, you know, they say in the in-laws, oh, the in-laws are supporting their son. They are allowing him for corrupt. No, the in-laws are supporting their daughter-in-law. They're trying to protect their son, but the son is not in their hands. He's already, and that's why some people say that, is it sahaf? Is it jadu? Is it magic? That the woman has some sort of magic, that they hypnotize the man, and the man cannot open his eyes. Maybe it's a case. But what is Allah warning us? Allah is warning us one thing. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. The word Allah used here is عَظِيمٌ. Al-Azma, greatness, majority, the highness. And that is what Allah is warning us. Look, إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. First thing, Allah is saying that the husband told the wife, that look, this is your makr, Yusuf is innocent, he has nothing to do with it. And he's saying your kaid or your treachery or your steps and shrewdness is very, very dangerous. And then Allah adds on to say, إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Look, men, in this ayah, Allah is addressing the men, that look, beware of the treachery of women. Try to read this ayah to that man, but he still doesn't get it. It's hard, because when somebody is hypnotized in love of someone, it's hard to explain to them the ayahs from Surah Yusuf. Look, Allah is saying, beware of the kaid of the adim. Then look what does say. Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah, he says in his tafsir of the Surah Yusuf, Sayyid Qutb, mashallah. Look, I mean, what a beautiful. He says that Allah is giving us the definition of nizam, system. The nizam of aristocratic, or the, as Sayyid Qutb says, the nizam of the so-called non-Islamic, non-divine scripture nizam is fashion, failure. Because the world, that is what Allah is saying, the world has certain pretext, certain paradigm, certain way of judging people, of acknowledging people's faults, and then reprimanding them, right? Whereas Sayyid Qutb says, look at the nizam al-Qur'ani, nizam al-Rabbani, nizam al-Nurani. The nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if you catch someone doing something wrong, you punish them right there and then. If not punish, at least you warn them and tell them, this is wrong. But Sayyid Qutb is comparing the two nizam in the same ayah. He's saying, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, what did the Aziz do? Aziz turned to Yusuf, he said, Yusuf, a'rid an hadha. Meaning, stay away from my wife. He's only telling Yusuf, he's not telling I'll protect you, you know, come with me, I'll give you another room or something. No, he said, you know, Yusuf, leave this alone. Get away, a'rid. Stay away from this, get away from this. A'rid an hadha. And what did the Aziz say to his wife? He should have done something, it's his wife. And he knows the truth, the qamis. Qamis is now the proof, shahad. He knows that his wife is the culprit, so he should do something. At least if anybody of our wife would like tell her, if not yell and scream at her, advise her, counsel her, says, look what he says. He says, وَاسْتَغْفِرِ لِذَنْبِكِ. Subhanallah. He's telling his wife, make istighfar for your dhamb. I know you did something wrong, but make istighfar. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِينَ. Yes, sir. Sayyid Qutb, rahimahullah, he says, that Allah is saying that Aziz, he acknowledged أَنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِ إِنَّكِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. You or my wife are from the wrongdoers. You are mistaken. So Sayyid Qutb says, should he do something? No. What does Aziz do? إِسْتَغْفِرِ لِذَنْبِكَ. وَيُوسُفْ أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. He's saying, أَيُّ نِظَامِ هَذَا. مَا فِي الشَّرَفْ. There is no wiqar, no sharaf, no honor. I mean, the way Yusuf, the way Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah is explaining, he's saying, look, when somebody has a nizam system that is not based on wahi, divine scripture, their mental capacity is also ajib, absurd. It's something that is astonishing. They have no mizan of evaluating things and events. He should have done something. Rather, he's telling Yusuf al-Islam, stay away from our wife. He should have said to his wife, hey, I'll lock you up, you go somewhere else. I think Brother Mota is calling me, if you can. So, his wife, he should be telling his wife, but look, stay away from this. No, he's saying to Yusuf al-Islam, who's innocent, who's been attacked, he's a victim, he's maghloom. Do you agree or not? Yusuf al-Islam is maghloom. Somebody's attacking his integrity, his sharaf, his honor, wiqar. So he's maghloom. But what does the Aziz say? Aziz says to the maghloom, a'rid an hadha. And Aziz says to the zalima, istaghfir li dhanbik. So Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah says, using this ayah, What difference is it between this Nizam of Adiz and the Nizam that we see around? Of course, as you know, Sayyid Qutb lived in the 40s and 50s and 60s. He's writing his tafsir, Fi Dhilal al-Quran, in the 60s. So he's comparing in his book the Nizam that was there in Europe, in America, in Australia, and in the Islamic world with the Nizam of Quran. He's saying, what good is our Nizam if we are based on this thing? Because the message Allah is giving in this era is that there should be a balance. And at the same time, he mentions over here, Sayyid Qutb in his tafsir, about the insan at the youth, which I already told you, remember last time, that the youth, Rasulullah, he cursed the youth. He cursed the person who is the youth. Who is the youth? The youth is that person, I don't know the English translation for that specific word, but the thing is, the youth is that person who finds out that his wife is engaged in some mischief, in bad things, and he turns the other way. Meaning he doesn't reprimand her, he doesn't warn her, he doesn't give her a call, he just doesn't mind. He says, you mind your own business, he minds his own business. So that is why Rasulullah said that there is shadeed, wa'id shadeed, wa'id shadeed for the youth. Meaning if a husband finds out any kind of mischief or deviation from his wife, and he finds out that the integrity and honor of his wife is in jeopardy, he should do something about it. The Quran doesn't say, the Sharia doesn't say that you just divorce her right away. No, you should do something about it to control her, to advise her, to give her nasiha, to give her taqwa, to bring her in line to Sharia. If she does not, and if a person exhausts, and there are at least 20 steps, if a husband exhausts all 20 steps to change the corruption of his wife and she still doesn't change, remains corrupt, then yes, he has the right for divorcing her because she is corrupt. Mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it wants. The next thing we have then, after this, of course, Yusuf al-Islam is left alone. He is attacked. Yusuf al-Islam is attacked by the Imrat al-Aziz, but the Aziz leaves him alone in the palace. So he's back to square one. She might be making some other makar, some other thing. So what happens? The story leaks out of the palace. And in the city. In the city, there are women over there. And you know, subhanAllah, this surah, I wouldn't say for lack, attack is not a good word, but this surah exposes the fitnas of women in a very clear way. That's why always, whenever I do this surah in any masjid, I tell the sisters, you know, with all due respect, don't take it personal. Don't think that this surah is talking about you in specific, but this surah is talking about a kafir woman or a munafiqa woman or a Muslim woman that may be engaged in such crimes. But Allah is telling men and women together, beware of these steps of the makar and fitna of women. Why? Because we need to be aware. What does Allah say in the next ayah about gossip? Allah says that men are not engaged in gossip, women are engaged in gossip. Men have no time because they're busy working and getting a paycheck, getting risk and earning. But at least the women have some time on their hand. So the gossip goes around in the city. I'm not saying that, but the ayah. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ. The way Allah starts the ayah by saying وَقَالَ قِيلَ وَقَالَ. It is heard, it is said. Oh, I heard. سُنَعَيْ دِي أَسَعُدْ. Oh, سَمَعْتُ عَنْكِ هَذَا. سَمَعْتُ. This word سَمَعْتُ, or in Urdu سُنَعَيْ. It's exactly the same thing Allah is saying. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Now in the city, in the bazaar, in the streets, niswa are not talking. Talking with each other. Gossiping. Oh, you know what? Have you heard? The wife of the Aziz, the minister, she attracted the husband. The Yusuf, the boy, the Abd. Because, oh, by the way, he was mashhoor, he was famous in the city as an Abd, not as a prophet. So nobody knew he was a prophet and nobody knew that he was Shab. All they knew was he was a slave. He came from the caravan, remember we talked about it, and Aziz bought him from the bazaar. So when the Aziz, when the minister bought him, everybody saw that. He gave baqs and dirham, as the ayah said. He gave a few dirham and he bought him and he bring. So the story came out to the woman that look, the wife of Aziz, which is a very reputable status, situation, that she is the wife of a minister. Which minister? Finance minister, the one who controls all the money. The wife of the finance minister, which I say, Urdu mein kehte hain, dore dal rahi hai ek gulam pe. In Arabic, as we, or in English, we might say that the wife of the finance minister is laying traps around a slave. Meaning, the reason Allah is saying is that the woman, he's giving the khalfiyah, the background of the woman. The woman is saying, What a disgusting woman. She didn't find any other beautiful man to you know, lay her hands on. She was going for a slave, because in those days, looking towards a slave was a very, you know, as you know, that there was a status quo, and slavery was rampant in the society. So if somebody was caught in the terms of fornication or adultery or zina for a slave, they would think that this is a disgusting woman. So they began to do sarcasm, mizah, and tons, you know. They began to attack the integrity. Then look, she had no other person to go. There are so many males out there. She only could find that. Why am I saying this in the beginning of the era? Because the next scenario is directly dealing with the same woman. It's like you're pointing fingers at somebody, and then it's very soon that same finger is pointing at you. How? You see the era, the Siyakul era. قال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاة عن نفسه قد شغفها حب. سبحان الله. Allah was saying that, what are they gossiping about? What they're talking about? Just talking. They're talking about the hub of the امرأة العزيز. Her love has engaged her so much that she has blinded, that she can't tell the difference between a slave and a free man. If she goes to a free man, at least we women think, oh, she is aql, she has some sense. But from their point of view, from the woman's point of view, they're saying she's going after a slave who is a bonded man. So that means that love is really blind. And in other words, what they're saying is the same thing as in English today. They say love is blind. It blinds you, it doesn't show anything. Maybe, who knows? After that case, subhanAllah, may Allah help that sister, because she's losing her husband. It is really blind. How to open someone's mind. Allah then says, إِنَّ لَنَرَاهَ فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They say, this is a dhamir for jama, إِنَّ, meaning we, certainly, we the women, see her. لَنَرَاهَ, يعني ها, the dhamir of mu'annas for the imra'atu ajl. إِنَّ لَنَرَاهَ فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. She is an extreme misguided, in extreme misjudgment. She is deviating. Then Allah tells us, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. Well, gossip, talk of the town. Came back to her, to the palace, and the Imrata Aziz, women are talking about me? You know, Allah's mother is showing woman to woman scenario, how women fight. Oh, she talk about me? How dare they talk about me? I'm the wife of the finance minister. I got an idea. Let me gather all these women in my palace, I'm going to teach them a lesson. So, qila wa qal, you know, gossip, it goes around in society, and then it comes back. And that's what Allah is exactly saying. And that's why Allah said gossip is something that is makruh, is dislike, is not appropriate, because a person who is in gossip is wasting time. Whereas that time could be involved in qira'at al-Qur'an, zikr, tilawa, or salah, nawafil, sunnah. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ, when Allah is using a feminine word, سَمِعَتْ, meaning when the Imratu Aziz heard that people are talking about her behind her back. You know how you feel when somebody tells you, you know, they're talking about you like this. At that moment, you feel very sad, don't you? Like somebody comes up to you and say, you know, in Badlay, they're talking about you like this, brother. And they said this about you, they said this about you. And you say, SubhanAllah, is your source true? Yeah, you know, and people are so sometimes naive or simple. They even tell you the name of the person. Oh, he said it, she said it. And they give you the name. And then you think, SubhanAllah, every time I used to shake hands with that brother, he used to smile, he used to hug me. I thought that he is like a friend of mine. But now he's stabbing me in the back. How? Because he's talking behind your back. So that's exactly what Allah is saying. That Imratu Aziz, she felt ferocious. She felt very, very, you know, aggressive and angry, upset. فَلَمَّا سَمَّى بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْصَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ. Immediately she told the servants of the palace, rush, go out in the streets, gather all the women that are talking about me, the wife of the finance man. Gather them and bring them. وَأَعْتَدَدْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَعَ وَأَتَدْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةً مِنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَ وَقَالَ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. Allah SWT gives her a scenario. What did she do? She sent a proclamation. Go there, fetch me all these women who are talking about me behind my back. Bring them to the palace, put them in the lobby, in the palace lobby or in the waiting area. And there is like a balcony, a gallery type, where she brings Yusuf al-Islam. But before she brings Yusuf al-Islam, the wife of the minister, she gives... SubhanAllah, this is dhiyafa. You know, hospitality. She gives them hospitality. Here, have some fruits, have some knife to cut the fruit, have some apple, have some oranges, have some pears, you know, entertain yourself. Wait, wait, he's coming, he's coming. Just wait, have some hospitality. You know, this is showing you how woman to woman strategic point of view, that when they are angry with some woman, they will make it sure that you nail them in the coffin. So she is making them with the sarcasm and, you know, the sarcastic way. Look, you have the hospitality, but this hospitality is going to cost you very heavily. Why? Because they end up cutting their hands. They don't cut the fruits to eat it, but they cut their hands. Subhanallah. Look at the makr of imra. And that's what Allah SWT is showing, exposing to us. وَقَالَتْ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. Now, while they were entertaining in the hospitality, trying to cut the fruits, and then an announcer announced from one of the servants that everybody look to the balcony. So everybody is like cutting, and then suddenly they look. And they go on. They're cutting, but they're looking at Yusuf alayhi salam. And what does Allah SWT tell us? Look at the beautiful ayah and the verses. Allah SWT tells us, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ فَلَمَّا سَرَدْ مَكْرِنَّا فَأَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّا وَأَعْدَدْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكًا وَأَتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةً مِنْهُنَّا سِكِّينًا وَقَالَتْ خُرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّا فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَاهُ أَكْبَرْنَاهُ وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. When he came out, they said on themselves, that they said, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَاهُ أَكْبَرْنَاهُ. Allah SWT is saying, أَكْبَرْنَاهُ كِبْر, كَبِرَ, meaning big. Meaning, what Allah SWT is saying, that when Yusuf Islam came from the curtain in the balcony, and he was apparent to these women who were sitting in the lobby, Allah made him bigger in the eyes of this woman. You know, the husn and jamal of Yusuf Islam was like shining and glowing and glittering. And it was, Allah made more fear seeming in their eyes, meaning their eyes were like glued. Really, the word here, akbarnahu, Allah is trying to make us an idea that, you know, it could be one thing that the women are cutting fruits and they announced, they start looking and then look. No! The word akbarnahu is saying that once they looked at Yusuf Islam, they just glued on it, fixed. They did not look down to cut the knife or to cut the fruit with the knife. They just glued, akbarnahu, waqatta'na, you know, on the pattern of fa'alna. On the pattern of fa'alna from the niswa word, the mu'annas word for jama', okay, for woman, Allah is using that word. But look at the word Allah is using. Allah is using a mudaf, fi'al mudaf. As you know, fi'al mudaf, it has a shadda, tashdeed. Shadda. Why? To stress and to say, there are two reasons for fi'al mudaf. One, for stressing emphasis. Two, for repetition. Why? Because the mufassirin, they wrote, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, وَقَطَعْنَا قَطَعْنَا يَنِي بِمَعْنَا مَرَّةً وَاحِدًا. They cut their hands. They were looking at Yusuf, وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, and they cut up their hands. No, they saw Yusuf, وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, their skin, their knives were going back and forth. Imagine some of the fingers must have come on the floor. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using, I mean, the reason the grammar of Arabic is so beautiful to understand, it gives you a graphic image. If you did not know this grammar of Arabic, why the shadda there and why all this, and you just read it, you would have thought, oh, they saw him and they cut their hair. No! Allah said, وَقَطَّعْنَا, meaning, what does that mean? Not just the point that they are cutting repetitively, again and again, but Allah is saying they are not feeling it. Because brothers and sisters, just think for a second, if you're cutting your hand, don't you, isn't going to hurt you? It's going to hurt you. There's blood coming up. Laharta, I mean, your hand becomes very flashy and fiery. It feels bad. But they're not feeling that, meaning they are numb. Again, as Rasulullah said, this ayah shows the jamal of Yusuf alayhi salam. And he repeated the hadith again, saying that Allah cut off the jamal, the beauty, in two halves. One half in my brother Yusuf alayhi salam, one half in this whole universe. Come. Because this ayah and this action of cutting your hand and being numb and not feeling it is clearly saying that they are so thrilled with the beauty that they've forgotten about their own body part, body limbs. And then Allah says, وَقُلْنَا, on fa'alna principle, same thing, same word used here by Allah. وَقُلْنَا, and they said, meaning jami'an, not one of them, in chorus, all of them said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, they are now glorifying Allah. See, even if you are a kafir, but when you see something very, very amazing, astonishing, you remember, oh my God. Even if you're kafir, you say, oh my God, what is this? So that is what Allah is saying. That they say, well, قُلْنَا what they said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, may Allah be glory. مَا هَذَا بَصْرًا, this is not a human being, it's not a man, this is not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, the woman thought that this is not a human being, it cannot be a male, a human being, inside. It must be an angel, Kareem. When this ayah was revealed, مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, Rasulullah was asked by the Sahaba that, Ya Rasulullah, man huwa al-Kareem? Who is the Kareem? So Rasulullah said, Al-Kareem huwa al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. Meaning the Kareem here, Allah SWT is elevating the status of Yusuf al-Salam, and Allah is saying, and Rasulullah is saying, Kareem, or the generous, the pious one, is Yusuf al-Salam, Ibn al-Kareem, son of Yaqub al-Islam, Jacob, who's also Kareem. Ibn al-Kareem, son of Ishaq, Isaac, alayhi salam, who is also Kareem. Ibn al-Kareem, son of Abraham, Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Meaning Allah blessed Yusuf, alayhi salam, three generations backwards with karama, karam, kareem. And that is why the laqab of Yusuf, alayhi salam, was al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. The pious and generous one, the modest one, Kareem, who is the son of the modest, the generous, and the son of the son of, meaning Yaqub, Jacob, Ishaq, Isaac, and Ibrahim alayhi salam. قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ. Now she came back. The Imadu Aziz, she came in the balcony. Huh? See, this is why you guys were blaming on me. لُمْتُنَّنِي, لُمْ. You guys were blaming me that I went after a Abd, you were insulting me that I couldn't find a free man and I found a bond man. Abd, what about you guys? I didn't cut my hand, you are cutting your hand. Yeah, the matter of women is being shown in the graphic image in this air, that she's now getting back on them. She's becoming equal on what they did ghibah about her in the streets of Medina. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّ لِفِيهِ وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي فَاسْتَعْسَمَا. And then she says, I approached him and I attracted him. فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, فَاسْتَعْصَمْ بِمَعْنَى شِدَّةُ الْإِمْتِنَاءِ, as they explain in the لُغَةُ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ, that over here Allah SWT is saying, I mean, the words used by Allah SubhanAllah, they're amazing. This is the balagha, this is the fasaha, this is the ajaz of Quran, even for the Arabs. We are ajam, I don't know Arab, but even for the Arab linguistically, فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, and these words and all are giving a graphic image to show what, that she was restless and bent upon getting Yusuf al-Islam. And she was not only restless, but now that these women saw, each one of them began to approach Yusuf al-Islam. Meaning now they are fighting amongst themselves. There is now mutual rivalry amongst the women who are in the lobby of the palace, as well as the Imra'atu Aziz after him. So what? How does Allah save our beloved Prophet Yusuf al-Islam? وَإِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمَرُهُ لَيَسْجُنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. Allah SWT tells us that Allah saves Yusuf al-Islam from the fitna of all these women. Before there was only one woman, the Imratu Aziz. Now there are so many, because he's exposed. So now everybody wants to get him. So Allah is saving him how? That because the Imratu Aziz proved it to the woman that, look, he is so beautiful and he is attacking me, meaning she's still yulabisul kalam, like they say, she is still covering up the words and trying to show that she is innocent. She wants to prove her innocent, and she wants to prove that Yusuf Islam, with this husn and jamal, he is the aggressor, he's attacking me. So she says, La yusjananna walaykunna min as-saghirin, walaykunanna min as-saghirin, that he should be jailed and he should be from those who are the culprits. Meaning she is proposing to the palace or to her husband that Yusuf al-Islam still should be jailed because he is still a threat to me and to so many women, because even the women are cutting their fingers. So in other words, she is using this crime, so-called crime of cutting of fingers, on the shoulder of Yusuf al-Islam. She is trying to show, it's kind of amazing, isn't it? After 9/11, whoever is innocent, they try to show him, publicize, portray him you know, blasted up that, oh, this is the culprit, this is the culprit. Whereas in reality, that is the innocent. Yusuf Hussain, miskeen, mazloom, he's innocent, ma'soom. But he is being projected in the palace, in the city. Look, so many women cutting their hands. The wife of the Aziz is in trouble. He is the culprit. He is the criminal. You know what I mean? They say that when you publicize so many lies, lie becomes truth. So the Aziz, he said, okay, we will put him in sijil. He decided, if you guys say that he's so dangerous, he's so legal, we'll put him in the prison. He's innocent. Why in the prison? They are the ones who are cutting their hands and coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why. قَالَ رَبِّي السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ رَبِّي هو بمعنى يَا سَيِّدِي. Meaning, Yusuf al-Islam is not talking to Allah here, but he's talking to the Aziz. Aziz is like a master, because he bought him, okay? He's a slave still. He's not a free man. He's saying, so the Arabs used to use the word Rabb also, not just for Ilah, but for master, Sayyid, the owner of the slave. So he says, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي. He's saying, oh master, oh minister of finance, oh Mr. Aziz, oh my master, oh my owner, I love the prison more than what they are calling me to. Mind you, Yusuf al-Islam is not surrendering. He is not giving up the battle of argument. Al-Batl, like many of the Mufassirin have written, that Yusuf al-Islam is not going out quietly. He is going out, but he is making his point. Now look, I love the prison, I am going to the prison. But remember, I'm not just by me going to the prison or accepting to go to prison, I am not claiming confession. I'm not claiming responsibility. I'm still innocent. But he's saying, why am I going to prison? I'm going to prison because that is more beloved to me and more safe heaven for me than what these women are calling me to. The pronoun here used in the fi'l, fi'l mubara, is mimma yad'unani, jama, from what they are calling me upon. Meaning, Allah's mother is saying, all these people, the city dwellers, they are calling me towards fitna, fasad, fahsh, fahisha, you know, all those kinds of mischief. They're calling me, but Yusuf al-Islam, because he's from the muhsineen, he's from the salihin, he's from the hakeem and aleem and all that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that, look, in the young age, Allah bestowed upon Yusuf al-Islam wisdom, knowledge, ilm, and ihsan and muhsin, and he's so good, so he is still away from the fitna. In fact, Sayyid Qudr rahmallah, he says that sometimes prison is a better option. Why? Because Sayyid Qudr himself was in a prison. Where did he write his book? Fi Dilal Quran. Dakhil fi Sijn. He accomplished writing a whole tafsir inside a prison. And mind you, I believe Gamal Abdel Nasser was the president at that time. And mind you, he took away the ink and the pens and everything. Guess how did our teacher and respected leader Sayyid Qutb wrote? He wrote on the walls of prison. The publisher who published the first jild of this book, he said, I took off the tafsir of Fi Dilal Quran min Sayyid Qutb min al-jidar, min al-hayt. Why? Because sometimes prison, although it looks very bad, but it is a more viable option. And that's what he says over here. Being a prophet of Allah, Nabiullah, having the ijaz, miracle, having the beauty, having everything, being innocent, being totally bari, free from any kind of dhamm, isn't it? He's still saying, Ya Allah, or Ya Sayyidi, I love to be in the prison than to be here out free. Because if he remains free, what's going to happen? These women are going to come and get after him. And he's fearing that he might fall into fahisha, zina. So he's saving himself, meaning what Sayyid Qutb Rahman says, that in this dunya today, in 2006, if we see anything that is dangerous and fahisha and fujur and fasad, anything that is evil and sinful and treacherous, and we feel that we might, waqa fil haram, we might fall into the haram thing if you remain in this direction, he says it's better to go towards the other direction, even if it is bad. Going to prison is 180 degrees from being a free man. Going to prison, nobody likes it. going to prison even as a person who's criminal doesn't like it. What to talk about a free man? But he's saying he's choosing that because he's giving a lesson, ibrah, wisdom, to the reader of the Quran, that look, sometimes you have to swallow the bitter pill. The medicine sometimes is very bitter, very sour, but you have to take it because that is the best remedy at that time. So he says that in our life today, if we see that we have two options, option A, option B. Option A, we fear that we take this option, we might fall into some haram action, some haram deed. It's better to take the other option. Now, I don't mean to use this in a condescending way, but many times people ask me, should I take the mortgage and live in the house, or should I live renting-wise? Yes, living renting-wise is very difficult. It's just like going to a prison, a jail. Because a lot of time the media and the society says, oh, you're wasting your money. You can't get tax break, tax benefit, tax exempt. You are renting a house is like putting your money in the garbage because the money is not going anywhere. You're not owning that thing. These kind of waswas and things come to the man to corrupt the mind, thinking that, oh, if I'm wasting my money, I might as well get the mortgage and use my money because after 15 years, 20 years, it will be my property. Yes, but what are you doing there? At the cost of riba, interest, which Rasulullah said is one of the kabair, major sins of Islam, and which Allah said in Surah Baqarah, that if you take riba and you come to me on the day of judgment, I will raise you from the grave crawlingly, meaning a person cannot even sit or stand up. They will always be crawling on their floor. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, riba is like making adultery fornication. The smallest level of riba is like making adultery fornication with one's mother. No son would ever want to do that with their mother. So Rasulullah is giving that kind of a glimpse in the hadith to deter the people. So if we look at this thing, the example of Yusuf Islam going to prison, going to jail, or going towards fahisha, we in 2006, we are also facing many times challenging decision-making process. At that moment, Sayyid Qutb says, you choose something where your heart is peaceful, even if it looks a bad option. Yes, I agree that renting a house is like draining the money, because after so many years, if I calculate how much I paid in rent, I could have owned a car or a house, but not right away. But I passed, it's like going to jail. Because if I did not and I took that, how will I show my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With what face will I show myself to Allah? So that is a comparison he makes here, that we as human beings, as Muslimin, we are always faced with challenging decision-making process in life. So we should choose always the option, even if it looks bad, the option that saves us from fahisha, from fujur, from anything that is negative. And then he says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ أَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, that, oh master, if you do not save me from the fitna of these women, I will certainly be from the ignorant people, from the misguided people, because I'll be walking into this negative thing, and therefore I will be in a lot of problem and difficulty. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that I answer, meaning I as Allah, I answered Yusuf al-Islam's dua. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I saved my prophet Yusuf al-Islam, and I answered his call, his dua, and I turned him away from the cage of these nisa by facilitating for him to go to the jail, prison. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And then Allah says, look, who am I? Who am I, Allah? I am Sami' and Alim. I am all-hearing and Alim. These two sifat of Allah are very important. When Allah says to us that He is As-Sami', the all-hearing, and Alim, the all-knowing, what is He saying? I heard your dua, and I know what is best for you. Meaning if the dua that you call for, if that is good for you, Alim, I know that, I'll give you that. If that dua that you ask and call for, if I know that it's not good for you, I will not give it to you. That is what Allah is saying. إِنَّهُ وَسَمِيعُ عَلِيمُ. In other words, Mufassirin said that here, many times we are in a very predicament, in a dilemma. And then we make dua. Oh Allah, help me in this problem. Help me make a wise decision. Make the right choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sometimes chooses for us sometimes, in response to dua or without the dua, something that may apparently be negative for us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the prison for His own prophet Yusuf al-Islam, anybody from logical point of view and human instinct will say, yes, going to prison is a negative thing. So why did Allah save him from some other way? Why didn't Allah just show some miracle? It's a prophet of Allah. He can just give miracle. He saved Ibrahim Islam from the fire. He saved Yunus Islam from the fish. He saved Ismail Islam from the knife. So why didn't Allah just make a miracle and save Yusuf Islam? Here the Mufassirin said, because Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. Meaning Allah heard him and Allah knows what is the best way for him and what's the best way to be saved. Meaning Yusuf Islam is entering jail with the permission of Allah, but Allah will also relieve him from the jail with something much better. Why? Because we look in the future, when Allah saves Yusuf Islam from the jail, he came out and he became the finance minister. He became the in charge of Baytul Mal. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That I am Alim. When Allah says he's Alim, he's all knowing. In other words, what does that mean for us today? I mean, if we see that something negative is coming our way and we are going through that, we're going through negative times, remember always, Allah is alimun bi'ibadihi. Allah is well aware of his slaves. He knows what is good for her or him. So if him or her are going through negative, turbulent times, Allah is well aware of that, and Allah is wanting you to go through that. Two reasons. One, it's imtihan, okay, test. Imtihan for Iman and Daraja. Two, Tarbiyah. Tarbiyah. Do you agree not, brother and sister, with me, that every time you face an adversity, a problem, a difficulty, every time you go through tough times, when you come out of the tough times and the light shines at the end of the tunnel, when you turn back and look at those dark days, the black days, what's the first thing comes from your heart? Wow, I learned a lot. I learned how to cope with the problem. I learned a lot of experience how to face this adversity. Because if I've never faced this, I would not know how to cope with it, right? So there are always two messages in the dark things that we go through in our life that Allah chooses. Remember, nothing happens without the will of Allah. So if Allah chose the prison for Yusuf Islam, it was meant for him because that was better for him. How we see in the future. In the same way, if Allah chooses for us something that is negative from our perspective, but it's good from Allah's perspective, because Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is all hearing and he is all knowing. He knows. He hears your thoughts. He hears your waswasa. He hears your karah. Because when you are in karb, when you are in pain, there is a karah. You say, oh, I'm so, oh. You know, like when you have shiddatul bukhar, when you have very high fever, you start having groan and moaning, oh. The pain. Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. I am hearing your karah, and I'm hearing your pain, and I'm also alim, and I know that this is right now good for you. Why? Because you're getting trained. And Yusuf al-Islam went to the jail to be trained. That is the message. That is the ibrah of the message over here, that why did he go to jail? Because many times, like in Ghazali, the kids, they ask me, we don't get one thing. Why would Allah send his own beloved prophet, who he gave half of all the beauty, to go in the jail? Nobody likes to go to jail. As we see in the whole picture together, Yusuf Islam went to the jail for tarbiyah, training, rigorous training. Because if he didn't go through this training, how would he be the ruler of Misr? He's the emperor, ruler of Egypt. And his brothers come to him. They make sujood to him. In other words, when Allah plans for us something, brothers and sisters, we should accept it. Why? Because وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. This ayah came in this surah. And I told you back then, brothers and sisters, remember this ayah, because this ayah fits exactly on Yusuf al-Islam. That is why Allah mentioned in Surah Yusuf. And this ayah, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, fits on all of us. Meaning we... So if we want to look at it in our life today, there is a problem, there is something difficulty, there is something bad, and we see that we are going to go through that storm, and we have no option to go right or left. We have to go through this difficult time in our family life, and we go through that. Remember that time, this is coming because وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ. Allah is غَالِب, overpowering, over-establishing, عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, because it's the amr of Allah. Maybe there is some khair in it for me. That is why after 9/11, all the brothers who were detained and jailed, innocent, for little thing, or for something, for nothing. It was an ibrah, training. Because many of them who got released, many of them got lawsuits also. Many of them were released, and people talked to them. They said, my iman has increased not tenfold, hundred, thousand, millions. Many of these detainees, brothers, who were in the jails for 2 or 3 years after 9/11, when they finally got released last year, 2005, 2006, they come out saying, I haven't become weaker in Iman, rather I am more stronger in Iman. Allah trained me good and I became closer to my Islam. Before going to the jail, I was very weak, a very light practicing Muslim. Now I know what is the meaning of Iman. So going to jail for them was a good thing. But not necessarily all of them, some of them may be backfired. In the same way, going to jail for using Islam was good. How? We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next section that when he went to the jail, he saw, and by the way, with him two other men entered. وَدَخَلَ مَهَا سِجْنَ فَتَيَانَ And entered with him two young boys, فَتَيَانَ قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْسِرُ خَمْرًا One of the young boys said, Oh Yusuf, I saw a dream, in the dream I saw that I am making alcohol. Having grapes, crushing it, and making alcohol out of it. وقال excuse me, آخر إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبز. The other young boy said, Oh Yusuf, I saw in a dream that I am carrying on my head roti, خبز, bread to eat. تأكل الطير منه, and the birds are coming and eating the bread from my head. So much so that even the head is meaning unki chonch from their beaks, the head is getting holes. You know, Woody Woodpecker, they're eating the bird. نبعنا بتعويلي. Oh Yusuf, give us the information about the ta'wil of this dream. Hey, give us the interpretation, the story, the meaning of these dreams. إِنَّا نَرَاكَ إِلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that these two boys who are in the prison, nobody says to somebody in the prison, the jail, hey, you are a very nice man, you are a very pious man. No. But Allah is saying, look, this is shahada, proof, testimony, witness, that even the people who are in the jail, the prisoners, they're giving witness, O Yusuf, إِنَّا نَرَاكَ O Yusuf, we see you from the muhsinin, good doers. You're not a bad person, you're not a criminal. You have been innocently submerged in the jail, in the prison. قَالَ لَا يَعْتِيكُمَا تَعَامًا تُرْزَقَانِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَعْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَعْتِيَكُمَا ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي He says that this is food that will come towards you and you will be feeding for it, but wait. He said, I have to give you the detail of this after some time. He doesn't give them right away. He wants to have some food, he wants to have some time one-on-one with them, and then he will give them the detailed information of the dream. And he tells them, who am I? I mean, he's giving information. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ He's saying, let me introduce you myself. Who am I? You said that I'm a good person, but you don't know me. Who am I? So before I give you the interpretation of the dream, let us have some food and eat that, meaning the jail food, and we rest, and we sort of socialize, relax a little bit. And I introduce you myself. He says, I'm a person who have left a people who used to be kafir, who used to not believe with Allah, and they were with the akhirah, they were disbelievers. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ أَبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ And I followed the following of my father, Ishaq, Yaqub, and Ismail al-Islam. Ibrahim al-Islam. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ He's saying that I had no opportunity, nothing to do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ This is the father of Allah, that Allah saved me, Yusuf, from the shirk, from the kufr, and he guided me, and he protected me, and he gave me knowledge, and he gave me ilm, and he gave me wisdom. And this is, a lot of people get this, he says that, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ This is the fadl of Allah, blessing of Allah upon me and upon all of people, nas. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ Meaning people, nas, human being in general, get a lot of fadl, a lot of blessing, fadl from Allah. But majority of the people don't give thanks to Allah. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ يَا صَاحِبَ السِّجْنِ أَأَرْبَابُ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ He says to them, Oh you, the two people of the prison, صاحب السجن أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار Tell me you two young boys are two gods who are separate in their entities better than one supreme powerful god وَاحَدُ اللَّهُ الْقَهَّارُ. Which one is better? Meaning he's saying, use your brain, use your judgment. He's asking a logical question. Now, what is he doing? He's doing da'wah. The Rasulullah said, like, look, even in the jail, in the prison, Yusuf Islam is not like depressed, anxiety, sad, and like drooping, like life has come to an end, there's nothing to do. He's hustling and bustling with energy. He's giving da'wah. He's working hard even in the jail. Because remember, if somebody is innocent and you put them in jail, what is going to be their mental psyche, mental feeling? They're going to be depressed, anxiety. They're going to be like feeling really down, feeling sad, feeling like the life has come to an end. I was innocent, they put me in here, I don't know what's going on. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a clear picture that our Prophet Yusuf Islam is not at all sad, depressed, and anxiety or anything. Rather, he is satisfied with this, what he is in this predicament. He knows that Allah is with him, Allah is going to save him and protect him, so he is satisfied. He put that feeling aside of sadness, the anxiety, depression, and now he's getting busy for the job that he's been chosen to do. Perfect. Da'wah. And he's giving da'wah even in the prison. Today here in America, how many of us go to the prison giving da'wah? Many Muslims go from many different masajids. They have Jummah Salah in prison. They have Quran distribution in the prison. Many times on Y Islam, the people from the prison, they call us, like the warden will call and say, here's a person, he wants to talk to you guys about Islam, and we answer their call, we talk to them, and you can hear the background noise of the jail, incarceration, people talking, and things on. So, giving da'wah in prison is not something new. It was there from the time of Yusuf al-Islam. He did it. And even we Muslims do it today. Amazing. And he's saying to them, Tawheed, oneness. He's saying, you tell me from your logic, is two separate gods better than one supreme powerful God? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ. He's saying, like, you guys, you do shirk, you worship statues and idols, and what you worship is nothing. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. The God you worship is nothing, it's not a God, it is just مجرد, it is just basically names that you have named and you worship it. أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ, you and your fathers, forefathers have named them and put them. مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا سُلْطَانٍ. Allah did not reveal these names, nor did Allah reveal these gods, nor did Allah appoint these gods and statues that you worship. The shirk that you are involved in is something that is very heinous and bad. إِنَ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. He's giving da'wah to them that look, hukm is only for Allah. This shirk and this polytheism that you do in terms of worshipping different gods, God of sun, God of moon, God of stars, God of rain, God of clouds, whatnot, it's nothing. It just means that you and your fathers have put on to it, and there is no hukum to it. There are no authenticity to it. Hukum is only for Allah. Authority is only for Allah. The ruling is only for Allah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. And he ordered me to tell you and to tell everybody that, and to tell me that we should worship no one except him. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلِمُونَ. That is the deen of Allah, the very manifest and strong and qayyim. But most of the people know not of that. And then he goes on to say, but we run out of time, it's 9:30, time for Isha. The next ayah, 41 to 44, he gives the tafsir, explanation of the dream. يَسَاحِبَ السَّجْنِ أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمَا فَيَسْبِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. And he tells them, we'll continue from here inshallah next Thursday, that he tells one of them that one of you that you saw the dream, you will be your Rabb will give you drinking of khamr. يَسْبِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَيُصْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. The other one, he'll be fixed, like crucifixion. He'll be fixed, yuslab, salib. He'll be on a cross and fixed, and the birds will come and eat. Why? We continue with that next Thursday, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa akhadu alhamdulillah.